Thank you. On behalf of Elara Securities Limited, we welcome you all to this 1Q FY25 earnings conference call of Blue Dart Express. We will start with opening remarks by the management and followed by a Q&A. Over to Tushar, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Ankita. Thank you, Elara, for organizing this investors' earnings call for the quarter. Good afternoon, everybody. A very warm welcome to all of you into this quarter one financial 2024 earnings call of Blue Dart Express Limited. As you are aware, the board of directors of the company approved the first quarter financial results in its board meeting held recently on July 19, 2024, and the company declared its financial results for the quarter ended 30th June 2024, wherein the company posted profit after tax of ₹515 million for the quarter ended 30th June 2024. Revenue from operations stood at ₹13,427 million. Blue Dart, known for its extensive network and cutting-edge technology, demonstrated consistent growth and remained on track with its expansion plans. Further, for information of investors, Mr. Sharad Upasani, chairman, retired as an independent director with close of business hours on 22nd July 2024 on account of completion of his second term of the office as an independent director as per the provisions of law, and consequently ceased to be the chairman of the board. Mr. Prakash Apte, independent director, has been appointed as non-executive chairman of the board with effect from July 23, 2024, that is from today. The company successfully concluded its annual general meeting on July 19, wherein all the resolutions, including appointment of Dr. Vandana Agarwal as an independent director of the company with effect from 23rd July, were passed. The results have been already uploaded on the stock exchanges and also posted on the website of the company. I now request and hand over the call to Ms. Sudha Pai, CFO, and Mr. Sagar Patil, Head Corporate Accounts, for further proceedings. Thank you. Thank you all. Over to Sudha.
Just a few highlights on a quarter-on-quarter. Our revenue has grown by 8.5%, shipment by 7.4%, and weight by 9.6%. It's a year of investment compared to previous quarter versus this quarter. We have invested into, you know, the new hub, into two new aircraft in this particular, year, and which is where, you know, the effect of that would be a little bit of a cost, and thus our PAT has come down accordingly on a quarter-on-quarter basis from, you know, 801 million INR to 693 billion in this particular quarter. So these are the key highlights of this particular quarter. Would like to try to, you know, go into questions, if any.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Sir, you may go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first one is if you could give the volume number in tonnage and number of parcels and also split it between air and surface, that would be great.
We don't give bifurcation within our product as an information, but overall in terms of volume, overall in terms of shipment, last quarter it was 83.94 million shipment, and this quarter it is 90.15 million. And in terms of weight, it is, 285,643 tons in June 23 quarter. And it's 313,089 weight in tons in this particular quarter. That's on the overview at a, the company level.
Okay, fair enough. So, this, ma'am, the second question is essentially on the utilization rate of the two freighters. If you could comment on that and the kind of contribution they had in Q1 FY25.
So, in the last quarter, this aircraft was capitalized just in the first month of the, last quarter, which is in June 2023. That's the month it was, capitalized, and in this particular quarter, it's a full month effect. It's a full quarter effect that has reflected in the P&L. The impact of that is around like 115 million INR. Utilization per se, we would say that it's still, the new sector that has been introduced, which is Northeast Guwahati sector, that is yet to be, fully optimum utilized, and which is where we face a challenge on getting the outbounds. However, the inbounds into Guwahati is around between 75% to 80% versus the benchmark of 85% to 90% being the optimum one.
No, I just wanted to ask whether it has reached the break even level of utilization, or still we are below
yet to break even, yet to okay.
And when do we expect to break even?
We expect this somewhere with our festives getting kicked off somewhere in from September onwards. We expect during our festives. The investments that have been done to be fully utilized.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mayur Patel from 361 AMC. Go ahead.
Hi, ma'am. Thanks for the opportunity. Just want to understand if I recall your commentary in the previous quarter. You were sounding really confident on the PBT margin expansion trajectory of 200 to 500 bips as utilization levels, will inch up in the new aircrafts. So given that background, we have seen a decent 9% growth in top line, but we have seen sequential, decline in gross margin level also, and also at the EBITDA margin levels. Which is making the PBT margin looking like 5.5, closer to that, as compared to the earlier trajectory of 7.5, and where it was supposed to go up to around over a long term. But just want to understand, where are we in the journey of margin expansion?
The margin expansion is actually a factor of two initiatives. One is internal, and another also being, the external, which is the domestic demand. And, while we are in this particular quarter, we had, additional impact of, the hubs that we have invested into, the depreciation impact of those hubs that is being reflecting into the P&L. That's our internal measures that we are taking as an investment, strategy, which will take a bit of a toll on the overall profitability. And externally, overall, how does the domestic demand, pans out like? On the surface part, we are growing more on the surface, and on the surface, we are facing a very tough competition. And thus our, margins or the yield would accordingly be not as profitable as we are in the airspace like. So that's the current, story that is evolved in this particular quarter.
So, going forward, if we maintain around closer to double-digit top-line growth, when should we expect, not exactly that? when should we expect the, you know, that 200 to 500 basis margin expansion story to begin?
Sorry, you said 200 to 300? Sorry?
In your previous commentary of the previous conference call, I think you mentioned about there is a headroom of 200 to 400 basis PBT margin expansion as the aircraft utilization go up. That's what was the commentary of the previous quarter. So just want to understand if the growth remains steady at around 10% or higher, when should we see that improvement in margins kicking in?
As such, we don't give any forward-looking statement. However, you know, with the margin of double digit, which is like, you know, 10%, and considering, you know, the Blue Dart trend, it's year-on-year growth is almost between 10 to 15% minus the COVID period, which are, you know, which are an apparent years to compare. Like, but otherwise, 10 to 12% are the distant, you know, growth that we aim to look at. And with that perspective, in our margins, we would like to, you know, we still keep an outlook of decently between 7 to 8%, you know, margin percentage.
At the PBT level, ma'am, you know, we were, if I, you know, just referring to your commentary only in the previous, like you mentioned that as utilization levels in aircraft will go up, you guys are looking at, you know, very sharp improvement from the 7-8% margins at PBT level, margins to go up materially over next, whatever, 6 to 12 months, 18 months time. So I'm just finding it difficult to reconcile the commentary with the previous quarter.
We had said that, you know, provided, you know, we are able to generate that much level of, you know, provided we go for an optimum utilization. I think that's the one. A is that, you know, we do not make any forward-looking statement. B is, you know, it also depends on, it also depends on, you know, how the market has actually panned out, like, you know. Additional load.
Absolutely, yeah. I understand. But I'm saying if the growth continues to be around 10% plus, that should lead to better utilization levels and hence lead to improvement in PBT margins to your previous peaks of around 10-12%. Is it fair to assume that trajectory, you know, going forward if the growth remains around 10%?
See, the growth, being a festive, this thing, we expect the growth to be around that percentage. However, considering the investments that we would do, you know, into hubs and facilities, considering the IT, you know, initiatives that we would take, accordingly, you know, the margins would fluctuate.
Okay, I'll get back to the queue. Thank you.
The next question is from Alok Deora from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. So just on the previous question only, so margins this quarter has been lower if we see it in the last four quarters, you know, and despite the revenue actually coming in a similar trajectory of 1300 crore, 1350 crores. So what has actually happened in this quarter that margins have come off by nearly 150, 200 basis points on standalone basis? And is it more like a quarter thing, and could it recover in the from second quarter onwards? Just some qualitative comments on that, please.
So on the first question, you know, see, we are facing a situation of growth more in the surface than in our air, you know, in that domain, like, you know, it's more growth on the ground versus air, and that's where, like, you know, the pressure on the yield should accordingly be there. Like, as far as expense is concerned, you know, considering the merit increases and, you know, the annual merit increases, that's the cost that has hit into this particular quarter, in addition to the investments into, you know, investments into the hubs and, you know, the depreciation impact of that as, you know, hit the P&L. That's the broad story for, you know, the drop in the margin, you know, coming from the top line, where we do, we are growing, but the growth is more on the ground versus the air, and B, you know, the inflationary cost that has hit us, which has resulted into the drop of you know, margin compared to the previous quarter.
So in the coming quarters, directionally margin could improve, or because, you know, the growth in surface will always be higher than in the air, right? Because that's where the, at the industry level, the growth is coming. So it will be very similar for Blue Dart as well. So that is not something which could be more of a quarter thing, right? That in one quarter surface does better or air does better, right? So this margin trajectory, could we see a better margin ahead, or this could be more of a structural thing and margins could remain at the current levels with, you know, maybe some marginal improvement here and there?
See, we, as far as our, you know, budgets are concerned, it's a, you know, it's a steady increase of, you know, of 10 to 15% increase from one quarter to another, you know, the future quarters. Like, so that way, we expect to perform in line with our budget. And it actually depends on, like, you know, how the domestic demand would also pan out, like, you know, how much of the business we would do on the ground versus the air. And ideally, the expectation is, you know, the margins should improve by another 2 to 3%. We don't look for an exceptionally high margin, but considering it's a festive season, considering the aggressive, you know, the budgets that we are having, we expect the margins to improve by another, you know, from the current level to another 2 to 3%. Sagar, please correct me if, you know, if you please add anything if I missed it.
Sure. Just a last question from my side. In this particular quarter, has there been any one-off cost which have been incurred, which might not be repetitive in 2Q onwards, or it's been just a normalized quarter?
It's a normal quarter, and we expect those, again, for cost, you know, the additional revenue or efficiencies to be generated. So that's, you know, we don't have any one-off cost, but we have a cost for which we expect in the upcoming quarters, either the revenue would improve or we would get the efficiencies, or both. Like.
Good. Thank you. I think that's all from my side. If I have more questions, I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you, Alok.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, ma'am, between the two quarters, that is March quarter and the June quarter, and the analysis is there, where your volumes have gone up, your parcels have gone up, but your gross margins have shrunk. So if you could clearly identify the reason for shrinkage in gross margin between the two quarters, and if you can directionally tell us the extent of mix change between the two quarters, if any.
It's driven by largely by the product mix change, you know, from one quarter to another.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the key, driver, you know, between the last quarter of March to June quarter. Like, we are seeing more growth on the ground versus the air, and, you know, the rest of the story remains the same, that our yield and profitability on air is high versus the ground.
Okay. And to what extent the mix would have changed? For a 200 basis point QOQ change in gross margin, to what extent the mix would have changed?
So one example is that if you talk about Q&Q from JFM to AMJ, one significant cost that comes in the AMJ is the increment. So while we would have done most part of the GPIs in the first quarter or calendar quarter of the calendar year, what makes difference is typically April, May, June is a quarter immediately after the financial year end. So the volumes to some extent are softer as compared to the previous month, which has not happened in this case, because we have flied the new sector on air, which is the Guwahati, for the entire full quarter, whereas in the previous quarter, though it was started towards the end of January, the number of flights would be relatively less. It would not be a full for the entire quarter. So incremental impact for this month would be versus last previous quarter, QOQ, would be one, the increment, and the second would be the relative underutilization of that one sector where we have run a flight aircraft for the first full quarter.
Sir, the reason for underutilization of a particular sector cannot result in a gross margin mix change, right?
Yeah, so that is one reason. Major reason would be the increment.
Increment. So you're saying that if you had taken a price increase, then was there a part in quarter one, basically calendar year quarter one, and not a part of it in quarter two?
The cost has come in quarter two.
Okay. So you're saying cost has come in quarter two and all realization came in quarter one, higher realization came in quarter one.
Yeah, so higher realization started from quarter one, so it is not a differentiator between, as far as QOQ is concerned, the same realization is there in Q2 as well. But from cost point of view, this is the additional cost versus Q1 that has come in this quarter.
Okay. Is it possible to share the differential mix on the ground versus air in between the two quarters?
No.
No problem. It's okay. You don't share. No problem.
Yeah.
And just trying to, you know, understand your commentaries between the two quarters. Is it, you know, last quarter it was very clear that you guys have unutilized capacity on your aircraft.
Yeah.
And that capacity was supposed to get built up by some outsourced volume, which were otherwise outsourced. Now will start because you had built up the sector long back. So those volumes will start coming on your fleet. Every quarter utilization improvement will bring in better margin. Now, without quantifying how much better, but directionally will bring in better margin.
Yes.
Now in the, is it, so between the two quarters and the first answer that you gave, is it that the air volume, shipment volumes, between quarter four and quarter one volumes are lower than quarter four in air?
Moment.
Out of your overall volume, is it that the air volumes are lower in quarter two, basically, this June quarter versus the March quarter?
Let us give us a moment to check, please.
Yeah. Huh? We don't want absolute number, we just want the direction.
Directionally, that's the, air versus system. Quarter on quarter. Just a moment, March
air volumes and June air volumes.
Just a moment. Just give us a few moments.
No problem. Take your time.
forecast revenue for the volume of growth is 49.31 and 49.3. Yeah, it's a trend between, you know, air versus ground that we are, you know, between March quarter to this quarter that we are looking in. And overall in terms of, you know, the volume, the shipment, you know, overall in terms of the weight, we are better off in June quarter, where the weight is 313089, and last quarter it was 296988, you know, tonnages. And shipment
that,
being,
that
you know,
that number we have, ma'am, that number you gave, will the air shipment be lower than air volume of quarter two? Will it be lower than quarter one?
Yeah, it is.
It is. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if it is, then that brings you a case for operating negative leverage, because your asset utilization will be lower in quarter two versus quarter one, right?
Yeah.
And is the profitability in surface intact, or there is a erosion in profitability in surface?
We do not, you know, give too much of details into our product level.
I'm not actually asking for the percentage. I'm just saying, were you making the same profitability margins, or there is some pricing changes there in surface?
It depends on the, you know, also depends on the OD pair views. Like, you know, it also goes on the OD pair. So we can't really say that, okay, you know, the yield has dropped because the prices have dropped. Also the OD pair, you know, the short haul, long haul, those all mixes come into the picture. So, you know, that's our overall comment on the yield.
No problem. So I'm taking home case where, so what you mentioned in quarter one commentary and what we understand from your quarter two number, the case that there should be an improvement in margins as and when the fleet utilization improves, that theory remains in place.
Yeah.
Without figuring out or asking you the quantum, okay, but the direction is in place, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Anshul Agarwal from MKI. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Great. Ma'am, I just wanted to ask a question on the CapEx, the additional hubs that we have sort of commissioned. Were they part of our budgeted planning, and are they included in our CapEx plans of about 250 odd crores that we'll deploy in the current year?
Yes, it is part of the CapEx plan. You know, it is part of the CapEx plan. It is part of the budget. However, we expected, you know, the cost, we expected the efficiencies to come in, whereas we are currently into a cost situation.
Sure. So the question that I basically had was, does our CapEx of 250, CapEx guidance of about 250 odd crores for FY25 remain intact?
Yeah, it does include, you know, the expansion of the hub.
Okay. And these hubs would be on the surface business, right? Majority of the CapEx would be on surface now going forward?
Both. We have both the blends, you know.
Okay.
Considering
the competition in Surface Express is very staunch currently, what I was trying to understand was, Blue Dart being a premium logistics operator, our pricing on Surface would also be slightly higher than competitors. In wake of this, how are we trying to win market share? How are we trying to gain volumes in the Surface Express business, ma'am?
So, see, our outlook is always, you know, is to increase the market share, definitely, you know, to gain the market share. However, we also aim at profitable growth. You know, we also aim for the profitable growth. And, you know, yes, in the markets where we are dominant and we are leading, the profitability would be, you know, the margins would be higher. But in the market that we are entering, we always aim for a decent profit, you know, and yes, of course, you know, depending on the outlook for the quarter and, you know, how does the overall business pans out, we do, you know, have some risk-taking situations. But largely, you know, even with the, you know, we face a strong competition on the ground, and yet we try to aim for the profitable growth in the business we conduct.
Got it, ma'am. From what I can infer, so tactically in areas where we are not dominant, in regions where we are not dominant, our pricing strategy would be to sort of match a dominant competitor wherever we are challenges. Do we have that leeway, or do we, you know, play the premium pricing model throughout, despite us being challengers or being dominant in a particular region?
So it also depends on the customer base as well. Like, you know, if we see like a customer with a steady volume and possibility to do a consolidation going forward may get improved. Considering those all factors, you know, the pricing is accordingly offered, and which may not fit into our, you know, exactly profitable growth agenda. However, you know, depending on the market that we are catering to, depending upon the customer, the customer base, we do consider, a leeway in pricing. Sagar, would you want to add anything?
The term of premium pricing can be at times subjective if you look at it from a different parameter. It depends on what weight breaks the different players in the market are operating. So if a player who is at, say, 50 kgs per shipment versus somebody who is at, say, 120-130 kgs per shipment, the 50 kg shipment becomes more of a service proposition than a freight proposition, and the RPK doesn't really become comparable. So as we try to also benchmark at times ourselves in the market, we don't only look at the RPK. So if you look at RPK, one may say for a that Buddha is at a premium level, but that may not be the correct criteria. From a business strategy point of view, we do not really get into acquiring customer based on pricing as a sole criteria. So service quality is always the prime criteria. Of course, wherever there are opportunities where there is a key customer and a long-term proposition, we may have a kind of special price or a teaser price for initial few months. And after the customer realizes the value being delivered, then we next price increase cycle, we ask for the real benchmark price that in line with the other customers as such. So that has been so, and this happens more on a smaller scale, will not make a very big difference in the yields or in the margins that we would typically draw from overall business or product perspective.
Got it, clear. Thanks. Very useful, Sagar. Just last question. So considering the volume numbers that you have given out, our blended realizations are down about by 4% on a Q-on-Q basis. While I understand, you know, you don't give the bifurcation between surface and air, from what I can understand, our surface business might have outgrown our air business by roughly 4x, considering that, you know, it contributes only about 30-35% to our top line. In that scenario, our air volumes would have, you know, not grown by much. Is the insourcing of cargo that we did in 4Q, right, where we did not take up commercial belly cargo space, that would have resumed in this quarter, or the insourcing continues to remain at the same levels as it was in 4Q?
So two questions, I think. One from the surface ground point of view. Yes, that has been the major, I would say, growth driver. So as we go along, you may see as if overall blended yield in terms of rupees per kilo may show a dilution, not really comparable number as such. From the point of view of belly cargo, yes, as we have run our new aircrafts for the entire quarter, the focus is always on ensuring for the Blue Dart sectors where our flight flies to minimize the commercial line haul and depend more on the in-source capacity. So that will have some impact in the initial phase as we build the volumes in the new sectors there.
Got it. Sorry.
And also what happens, you know, you're right, the EBT cost, you know, the commercial airline cost ideally should be controlled. But considering the SQ, you know, where this is the most biggest agenda of or mission of, you know, this organization is, you know, to adhere to the SQ levels. Like, so to meet the SQ levels, sometimes, you know, we do take a call on, you know, incurring the cost on commercial space, you know, just so that to get a, you know, to give an overview on EBT cost thing.
Got it. Clear. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Krupa Shankar NJ from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on pricing again. Sorry to harp on this point, but just wanted to understand individually between Air Express and Surface Express, for in any of these segments, has there been a price decline sequentially because of various reasons, market reasons or weaker quarter? I understand that mix has played a role with respect to yield decline, but individually, has there been any decline on a QOQ basis?
We do not comment on individual products sector as such, Mr. Gopal Shankar. You know, overall at a RPS, RPK level, you know, versus the previous, quarter, like, you know, versus the previous quarter, previous year quarter, we are seeing, you know, a marginal growth on the RPS part and RPK slightly, you know, slightly down. However, weight per shipment has increased by, you know, 2.1%, whereas RPK is 0.7% down. We give an outlook, you know, overall at a organization level.
Understood. So, is it fair to assume because you have incurred costs on expanding your hubs on the ground network as well as the AirX network to boost utilization, similar to what was done with respect to the Guwahati sector, wherein you had taken in low yield products just to boost the utilization levels? Is that something of a strategy which can be deployed in the Surface Express business as well, just to ensure that utilization levels improve so that you can cover up the cost? That's something which we are actively considering, or is that something which we have implemented per se?
So you are saying on the Surface Express business, do we do a better utilization there? Do we do a proper, you know?
Yeah. Is there a yield management perhaps just to boost the utilization of expanded hubs which have come through over the last 1 year or so?
From ground product or surface product point of view, the major cost element is the vehicle hire and not as much hub. So ideally we would not, and this is already a well set network. The capacities are almost close to the optimum utilization levels from the, you know, the volume point of view. So we would not really prefer as a business to dilute or offer a lower price in order to utilize the hub capacity from real estate point of view. So no, to answer to your question is no, there would not be dilution in the yield because of the expansion of hubs.
Understood. And last point from my side, last question was more to do with the e-commerce business. Is there any further aggression with respect to pricing strategy over there, perhaps? Because increasingly we have seen that the Blue Dart, we are hearing from market that the shipments or Blue Dart share in e-commerce has also increased. So any change in strategy with respect to e-commerce?
No change in strategy. We do offer both our aircraft for a faster delivery, as well as like what most of the competition does, we also move on ground on this speed network, so as to give on ground but a fast kind of network. And we have started that with major focus since last few years, 2-3 years, especially it has picked up more after COVID, and we see that also growing well. So it has been a continuation of the mode that we had. So no major change in strategy over there.
So just perhaps a follow-up on that. Is it fair to assume that during this quarter, e-commerce or B2C in ground would have grown much faster than B2B ground surface? Or is that something which you can comment on?
We don't give product-wise, within the product-wise.
No, ma'am. Just directionally. Directionally, just asking that if...
B2C is the smallest segment on the ground part for us.
So on B2C, the ground, so we have that speed network which we call Dart Plus, so that has been growing faster, but it is still a smaller part of the business. But yes, that is growing, not a very big growth driver, but that is something that probably is the product that will continue to grow faster for a few years to come.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for answering my questions. All the best.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Vipul Kumar Anupchand Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to answer the question. The next question is from Nimish Shah from MK Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So I just had one question. If I compare the June quarter versus the March quarter, so the weight per shipment for us in the June quarter has gone up substantially versus the March quarter. So is it fair to assume that we would have seen decline in our documents business sequentially? If you could give some sense directionally.
Weight per shipment. Sorry, we didn't get the initial sentence.
So when I just compare the weight per shipment for June quarter and March quarter, so in the June quarter it has gone up by about 6%. So I'm just trying to infer that is this because of our documents business going down or sequentially?
Not going down, but the share can be the ground product being a faster growing product, the share would go down, and hence it will have impact on the weight per shipment.
Okay. And some sense in terms of how is the competition in the documents business?
Documents is BP is largely our air business, and it's known to be a market with one of the largest market share business for Blue Dart. That's all we can, say on the DP business. And that holds good even for this quarter.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
The next question is from Ankita Shah from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Ma'am, you mentioned that we are doing a lot of investments on creating new hubs. So what is the CAPEX that is done last year, and what is the number of addition of hubs that we've done?
So last year we didn't have any big investment, you know, into this pub. And this year, I mean, see, these are the very largely, you know, high capex intensive hubs. And, you know, additionally would be, you know, another 2 to 3 or 3 to 4, depending upon the profitability, how we make our profit, and, you know, what would be the strategy for the next year. Considering that, you know, approximate another 2 to 3 is what is our current horizon. I hope that answers your question.
This means to say that last entire year we've not added any hub.
Last quarter, 2023.
No, I'm talking about an entire financial year, because even your annual report number is exactly the same. 2, 3, 4, 7 hubs is same as what we had done last year, FY23 and 24. There is no change. And every quarter press release mentions that we have been adding new hubs on the surface side. So where are these hubs, and you know, where is the addition? We are not able to capture that.
So if you can look at the, you know, the EBITDA level where our depreciation has increased, you know, depreciation and lease increased from last quarter to current quarter, I think that's the one which explains the, you know, the increase in the, you know, A is the increase in the, you know, the hubs that we are planning to, that has gone live.
Yeah. And last financial year, we have not added any major hubs. So last couple of financial years has been more of addition or of aircraft and conversion from lease to buy. There have been either replacements or expansions of the existing smaller facilities. This year and the year following, there will be, we are not adding, you can say, but we are expanding existing hubs by replacing or within the same facility adding another piece of land.
Yeah. Okay. And you mentioned that we have not yet reached the optimum utilization level at the aircraft. So what is the level right now, and at what level, when we reach, we will achieve an optimal level according to you?
Ideal is 90%. 90% of the, you know, the actual weight that you know, aircraft carries. Considering the volumetric adding, you know, another dimension, it takes it up to, you know, between 95-98% and so on. But ideal actual weight, if it is somewhere between 85-90%, we say that it is an ideal optimized aircraft for us. Currently, it would range between 70-75%.
So again, I mean, there is a very subjective kind of interpretation of capacity. When we say utilization, there is underutilization. We only talk about the Guwahati sector. The same 737 that we are currently flying, it also touches Bangalore, Delhi, Bombay, you know, and then Guwahati. So other than Guwahati sector, which is also from or ex-Guwahati to either Delhi or Calcutta, there is underutilization. However, all the rest of the sectors which are flying within the other metros and flying from Calcutta or to into Guwahati, they are all full. So when we say utilization of 85-90%, it is more of in terms of
pallets that we're filling. So every time we fly the aircraft, we would not fly the aircraft unless there is a capacity projected or available optimum enough to fly the aircraft. The only sector where we are flying currently in anticipation of the build-up of volume in the months to come is the ex-Guwahati aspect. So in the overall scheme of things, it is not a very significant capacity that is going underutilized. Overall, all India capacity basis, it could be less than 5%.
Okay. And we had also taken a price hike this year, which we take every first of the year.
is there any impact? Have we been able to pass through that impact to the customers? Because we don't see any realization gain in the revenues. I'm saying we generally take a general price increase in the first day of the year, but we don't see any kind of realization improvement in our numbers. So have we been able to pass on that price hike to the customers, or the entire revenue growth is coming only from volumes?
No, we have also made it clear in our press release. We have had our, you know, general price increases. Of course, it's not to the expected budgeted level what we had, but roughly between 3.9 to 4% is what, you know, is the additional revenue that comes from GPI.
So in this 9% revenue growth, you're saying is around 3% is contributed by the GPI.
Yeah, you can say that 3.9% roughly, you know, coming from GPI.
And this you take both for air and surface business, both or only in a particular segment?
No, it depends. Like, you know, it depends for certain customers, the contractual terms that we have, you know, the period that we have started the contracts and so on. It spans across all of the products. Like.
Okay, so it is not across the board. It is selectively passed on.
I mean, yeah, it is, you know, it depends upon, you know, various factors, like, what we try to do across all the products.
Got it. And you mentioned about the price hike that was given to employees, which has led to increase in expenses and hence lower gross margin. So what is the amount of increment or hike that is given, which has impacted the margin?
The normal merit increase, roughly, would be, we'll have to, you know, it's a roughly, you know, a 4% YOY, you know, quarter on quarter increase, ma'am.
4% YOY and QOQ?
QOQ, I would say that, you know, last quarter versus this particular quarter.
And what would be the YOY impact?
YOY... Oh, sorry, YOY would be, YOY is around, you know, roughly 4%. Yeah. And even on quarter-on-quarter, considering the similar trend, it's roughly between, you know, 4.5%. 4.6%.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from individual investor Raja Kumar Vaidyanathan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the margin levers. I heard that, apart from this better aircraft utilization, I just wonder what are the other margin levers available to the company, and how does that, what do you think will play out in the next two, three quarters?
From quarter on quarter point of view, there is normally a volume upsurge in the festive month. So that is one lever we have during year. So not every quarter is the same. There is some element of seasonality. And improving the service quality levels and thereby looking for a better price increases or realization while attracting the new customers. So these are typically the levers for the business for a given, you know, we have a stable product mix, stable customer mix and the network. So the idea is always to improve the quality parameters and thereby try and get more customers and get more premium from the customer in terms of price realization.
Okay. So basically you're saying only from Q3 onwards we can see any uplift in margin, right?
typically it would be forward looking, but yes, I mean the second half is always a good month for the industry or economy in general where we operate in.
Okay. And generally, if you can also give some color on the demand outlook, do you expect, do you think the demand is better or you see any kind of, you know, slowdown?
We are optimistic. We see as the GDP growth rates improve, the e-commerce, the infrastructure improves, we see healthy prospects both for the air mode for the critical and faster deliveries required, as well as relatively less fast, but the ones which go on ground. So we see in general our customers growing. So yeah, we have a positive outlook.
Okay. So just last one question. So I just want to, what is the sensitivity the fuel cost has to the cost line, you know? How sensitive?
So it is an important part of our cost, but by design it is neutralized by way of having a variable surcharge that we have. So typically our customers, our customer contracts have a fuel surcharge clause which percentage increases or decreases based on the global Brent oil prices. So to that extent we have neutralized the impact of fuel cost variations in our realization of margins.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Since we have no further questions, ladies and gentlemen, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Tushar Gunderia for closing comments.
Thank you, Adara. Thank you, Ankita. And thank you, all investors. So if you do not have any questions, we can close this investors call. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you all. Yeah.
Thank you. On behalf of